The ninth and tenth commandment. The ninth commandment. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not scheme to get our neighbor's inheritance or house, or get it in any way which only appears right, but help and be of service to him in keeping it. The tenth commandment. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. What does this mean? We should fear and love God, so that we do not entice or force away our neighbor's wife, workers or animals, or turn them against him, but urge them to stay and do their duty. A Harvard professor, Ellen Langner, discovered in the year 2007 the power of thoughts. And in her studies, she offered the theme to her thesis with this important title: You Are What You Think. This, in contradiction to the other well-known sentence, which is, you are what you eat. The mystery of thoughts is something that politics and business has long since discovered. They, too, have found that one can influence the actions of people by their thoughts. What this Harvard professor has discovered is also a theme in the ninth and tenth commandment. In these two commandments, God is speaking about our thoughts. Whereas in all the other commandments, the focus is on actions, in the ninth and tenth commandment, God speaks about our thoughts. We should not allow covetous thoughts or jealous thoughts to enter our minds. Martin Luther explained the commandments 9 and 10, saying that these two commandments are specially meant for those people who deem themselves to be innocent of all guilt, calling on the good works and all the good things that they can show to people. Martin Luther poses the question, even if everything is outwardly in order, what happens inside of us is also against God's command, and this is specified in the commandment 9 and 10. Covetousness, which reigns our hearts, of course, does not only remain in our hearts, but what happens in the heart soon can become an action. This relationship between thought and action can be clearly seen also in the Bible, in the first illustrated murder. Cain murders his brother Abel. And there, when God looked at the offering of Abel, Cain was very angry and his face was downcast. The Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it." This we can read in Genesis chapter 4, verse 5 to 7. We know the conclusion of the story. The evil thought soon became an evil fruit, and the brother's blood had to flow. Luther encourages us and commands us, we should not seek after our brother's goods, after his house and all his things, and bring these to us in a way which appears to be right. It is important to notice also that here that it is not wrong to want a better life or to seek after certain things in your life. I would not dare to say that all these millions of people who have no house and not enough food to eat, that all these people are sinning by wishing to only have the bare essentials for their lives. This in itself is not a sin. To have a better life and to wish for a better life is not in itself a sin. But what is sinful is the evil thought which leads to evil plans and to attempts to try and deceive the brother and to take his goods away from him. The 10th commandment goes a step further and counts all those things that belong to the brother. We should not allow these evil thoughts to lead to evil actions. In practice, one can soon see how this happens. Just one example. A friend has his eye on my girlfriend, and therefore I hate him because he is trying to steal my girlfriend from me. Yes, and this is how very many times friendships are destroyed. Jealousy tears the heart apart and people cannot live together anymore. Love is destroyed. This God does not want to happen, and especially if we are one body in Christ, it is important that we serve each other and we praise the Lord for the things that happen to our brother that are good for him, the blessings that our brother gets. And also we can see how this jealousy can soon control our entire life, and sooner than we can imagine this kind of thing happens. For example, one person is working at his workplace, but at a lower position. The reason? His friend is occupying the better position for many years. And so this evil thought enters the mind. Wouldn't it be a good thing if this friend got sick or even died? Yes, it is frightening, but these thoughts are closer to us than we sometimes imagine. Paul Gerhardt, the important songwriter, writes up in his song, The Golden Sun Rising, in verse 6, a rough translation of this: let me with joy and without jealousy see the blessing that you will lay on my brother's house. However, the big question is over here, how can we control our thoughts? How can we control our mind? In our life, there will always be rich and poor, people who are gifted and are not gifted, homeowners and people who rent those homes. From birth, people are endowed with chances and gifts, and they are not the same. the scissors between rich and poor, in fact, seems to grow even larger from day to day. Socialism and communism have tried to bring this together to make people the same. However, this is not possible. These attempts have failed. We cannot change the way things are in this world. However, we can, or can we, control our thoughts, our mind? If we could, yes, that would be a good thing. Experience, however, shows us that thoughts have their own dynamic. They remind us of a truck going down a big hill without brakes. If a truck is racing down a hill and has no brakes, it is absolutely useless to post a warning sign at the side of the road saying, "Slow down." The truck without brakes cannot slow down. Yes, our thoughts are something like this truck. They are not easy and impossible to control, in fact. It is useless to post a warning sign, "Control your thoughts," if our thoughts have no brakes. Yes, we cannot on our own and with our own willpower and our own strength control our thoughts. Something more must happen. And this more, which must and should happen, is Jesus Christ Himself. Through the birth and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, this more has happened. If God comes into our jealous and hateful world, the first thing that appears is He has to die. However, Jesus is not defeated by hate and by jealousy. He contradicts jealousy and hate with love, a bigger love which reigns over jealousy and hate. And this same Jesus who conquered jealousy and hate for us commands us in Matthew 6, verse 33, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given you." Jesus doesn't give us a recipe in how we can control our thoughts, but he gives us more than this. He gives us himself. And the knowledge that I belong to him can conquer the evil that is within me.